Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I want to welcome you to day 5 of our 21-day Make Room prayer call. I pray you're still leaning in, still pressing in, and still making room for God in ways you've never done before. Every day has been a building block, a step deeper into what God wants to do in us and through us. On day 1, we said cleanse. We asked God to wash our hearts, clear the corners, and sweep away anything keeping us from seeing him clearly. On day 2, we said cast. We made the decision to throw off distractions, delays, and disobedience, letting go of weights that had been slowing us down. And on day 3, we said crush. We went beyond casting symptoms and destroyed the root at its source so it can no longer grow back. On day 4, we said clear. We celebrated the beauty of what happens when God makes our path straight, smooth, and right. And now here we are on day 5, and the word for today is consecrate. Consecrate. This is where the journey shifts. The first 4 days were about removal, what had to go. But consecrate is about devotion, setting apart what remains for God's use alone. It's not just about what's been emptied out. It's about what's now being filled with his presence, his purpose, and his power. We've cleaned the house. God is clearing the path, making it straight. But now it's time to dedicate it to the one who owns it. It's kind of like when you buy a new home that someone else just moved out of. You don't just move in and say, all right, this is mine now. At least not if you're serious about making it your sanctuary. You start by what? Cleaning it out, scrubbing floors, wiping down cabinets, lining cabinets, maybe even replacing things that were worn or broken. Then you bring in your own furniture, your colors, your style. But here's the thing. You can go in and clean every room. You can clear out all the old furniture and dust bunnies. You can paint the walls and make the space look brand new. But all of that is just preparation. That's why Big Luther, could sing "A Chair Is Still a Chair." Even when there's no one sitting there, but a chair is not a house and a house is not a home. Because a home isn't just about clean walls and new furniture. It's about presence. And that's what consecration is. God is not just looking for a clean space. God is looking for a claimed space. He wants more than a swept floor. He wants the deed. And here's why that's important. The one who holds the deed determines the destiny of the property. If you still hold the deed to your life, you still call the shots. You decide who gets access. You decide how it's used, and you decide what it's worth. But when you sign the deed over to God, you're saying, this no longer belongs to me. It's yours to occupy. Yours to arrange, yours to protect, yours to use however you see fit. See, a clean house without the right owner is just a vacancy waiting for the wrong tenant. But a consecrated life, a life deeded to God, is a dwelling place for God's glory. That's what God was after in Exodus chapter 29. Listen to what it says in verses 43 through 46. There also I will meet with the Israelites, and the place will be consecrated for my glory. And then down at verse 46, it says, they will know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of Egypt so that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. For 400 years, the Israelites have been slaves in Egypt, surrounded by a world of false gods and human-made idols. They had been defined by a place where the gods were made of stone and their destiny was determined by a Pharaoh. But God, with God's mighty hand, had brought them out of that bondage, and he parted the Red Sea, provided food and water in the wilderness, and proven himself to be the one true God. And so through the act of consecration, God wanted to reclaim them, not just from slavery, but from the mindset of slavery. He wanted to change their identity from a people who worshiped idols to a people who hosted his presence. The entire process of the tabernacle and consecration was about creating a holy space, not just a physical space, but a spiritual one, where God could finally come and dwell with God's people in a way they had never experienced. And this is important because the mindset of slavery doesn't end the day the chains fall off. You can be out of Egypt and still have Egypt in you. You can be free on paper, but still bound in your thinking. That's why God's presence is not just a comfort, it's a transformer. Because when he dwells among you, he redefines you. His presence rewrites the labels life tried to put on you. See, in Egypt, they were told when to work, when to rest, what they were worth, and who they were allowed to be. But when God took up residence in the middle of the camp, he was making a declaration, y'all don't belong to Pharaoh no more. You belong to me. You are no longer defined by your oppression. You are defined by my ownership. And that's what consecration does for us today. It breaks the cycle of letting the world, the enemy, or even our own past tell us who we are. It shifts the center of gravity in our lives from the things that enslaved us to the one who saved us. The tabernacle wasn't just a tent. It was a daily reminder that God's presence had moved into the neighborhood. And when his presence is in the middle of your life, you can't keep living with an Egypt mentality. And that's where some of you are this morning. You're out of Egypt, but Egypt is still in you. God has brought you out of the old job, the toxic relationship, the self-destructive habit, but you're still thinking like you're under Pharaoh's whip. You're still checking with fear before you step forward. You're still asking permission from insecurity before you speak. You're still measuring your worth by what the enemy used to call you instead of what God calls you now. An Egypt mentality will have you free, but still feeling unworthy, redeemed, but still walking like you're in chains. It will have you doubting that the manna will be there tomorrow, even though God provided it today. It will make you nostalgic for the very thing God rescued you from, because at least there it was familiar. But I want you to hear me this morning. Because the wilderness was not meant to be a holding cell for your old mindset. It was meant to be the classroom where God teaches you who you are in him. And consecration is the graduation day. It's the moment you stop letting Pharaoh's voice echo in your head and start letting God's voice establish your identity. And I believe that's a word for somebody who is in the wilderness right now. You thought the wilderness was punishment. You thought it was proof that God was mad at you or had abandoned you. You thought the wilderness was just a dry place, a hard place, a holding pattern until something better came along. And I get it, because the wilderness is hot by day and cold by night. It's dry and barren with no crops in the ground and no cities to call home. It's unfamiliar terrain marked by uncertainty and surrounded by enemies. It's the place where you can't depend on your own resources, where you have to wake up every morning and trust God for daily bread and fresh water. It's uncomfortable because it's unpredictable and it's unrelenting. I mean, at least when you were in Egypt, you knew where the next meal was coming from. At least in Egypt, you knew the routine, the schedule, the system. At least in Egypt, you could predict the day, even if every day was filled with pain. Yeah, Egypt was painful, but it was still predictable. You got paid on the 15th and the 30th. You knew where you were going to lay your head at night. You knew what the workday was going to be like, who you had to avoid, who you might cuss out, even if it drained the life out of you. You knew the rules of the game, even if the game was rigged against you. But now that you are in the wilderness, you think God has left and stranded you. You think this is wasted time, a detour, a delay, or a dead end. You look around and see nothing familiar, nothing stable, nothing certain. You wonder if you'll ever make it out. But this morning, I want you to reimagine what your wilderness can become. What if this isn't the place where your story stalls, but the place where your faith matures? What if this barren space is actually holy ground in disguise? Because the wilderness was still where Mount Sinai was located. And it was there that God revealed God's presence, God's power, and God's promise in ways his people had never experienced before. It was in the wilderness that the tabernacle was built. It was in the wilderness that they learned to live with God in the middle of their camp. It was in the wilderness that they learned to hear God's voice and depend on God's provision. That's why our key verse is so important. Exodus chapter 29, verses 43 through 46. There also I will meet with the Israelites, and the place will be consecrated by my glory. God's message to them and to us today is this: the wilderness wasn't a mistake. It was a divine assignment. He brought you out of Egypt into this uncomfortable space, not to abandon you, but to meet you. And the moment you consecrate your life to him, your wilderness stops being a place of survival and starts being a sanctuary for his presence. The moment you dedicate this space to him, you realize you weren't stranded after all. You were set apart. You were not abandoned. You were made available for his glory to descend and take up residence, because I'm sure there are at least two of y'all on this call. And you're saying, Pastor, I'm tired of just surviving. You're tired of just going through the day. You're tired of just making it to Friday. You're tired of just barely keeping your head above water. You're tired of the endless cycle of managing your stress and just coping with your anxiety. Because you are the one everybody else depends on. You're the one who has to buy it, build it, cook it, fix it, plan it, and pay for it. You're the one who keeps the schedule straight, the bills paid, the lights on, the refrigerator stocked, the kids clothed, and the house from falling apart. You're the one who listens to everybody else's problems while quietly drowning in your own. And somewhere along the way, you started living in survival mode, just doing enough to make it through the day without falling apart. But hear me, this is not all God has for you. Survival may have gotten you this far, but consecration will take you further, because the wilderness was never meant to be your permanent address of exhaustion. It was meant to be the place where God shows you how to live with him in the middle of your camp. And when I say camp, I'm talking about the middle of your real life, right in the middle of unpaid bills stacked on the counter, right in the middle of doctor's reports you weren't prepared for, right in the middle of deadlines that keep creeping closer, right in the middle of kids who need rides, meals, and money, right in the middle of caring for parents while still trying to raise your own children, right in the middle of strained relationships and heavy responsibilities you can't hand off to anybody else. It's in the middle of that camp, the messy, noisy, chaotic, stressful camp, that God wants to pitch his tent. He's not waiting for you to get it all together before he shows up. He's saying, if you'll give me the deed, oh man, I'll dwell right there. I'll sit down in the middle of your mess and turn it into a meeting place. I'll be your rest in the rush, your peace in the pressure, your strength in the struggle. Because God ain't got to take you out of it to prove he's in control of it. He doesn't have to move you to a calmer season to give you his peace. He doesn't have to remove the pressure to show you his power. Sometimes his glory shows up right in it, right in the doctor's office, right in the courtroom, right in the late night kitchen table conversation when you don't know how the bills are going to get paid. That's the power of consecration. You're inviting God to take ownership before the situation changes. You're saying, Lord, I give you the deed while the storm is still raging because I trust you to dwell here with me until the storm passes over. So give God the deed. Hand over every key, every room, every corner of your life. Don't just let him visit on Sundays. Let him move in on Mondays and stay through the midnight hours when nobody else sees the tears. Give him the deed to your decisions, the deed to your relationships, the deed to your finances, the deed to your health, the deed to your mind. Because when God holds the deed, oh, the enemy can't file a claim. Y'all better hear me this morning. When God holds the deed, the squatters of fear and anxiety and shame and doubt have no legal right to stay. When God holds the deed, your wilderness becomes his dwelling place and your life becomes his sanctuary. And when his glory fills the house, you will realize it was never just about getting out of Egypt. It was about making room for him to reign right where you are. I feel Sunday morning already. So here you go, Lord, take my heart and mold it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it. Because if you give him the deed here, he can bless you anywhere. If you make room for God in the wilderness, you will have no problem making room for him in the promised land. And I came to tell somebody this morning, the breakthrough isn't just in what you let go. It's in who you give it to. The power isn't just in cleaning the house. It's in crowning the owner. Because when the king takes his seat, everything in the house got to bow. Depression has to bow. Anxiety has to bow. Fear has to bow. Pharaoh's voice has to bow. Egypt's mindset has to bow. So this morning, don't just clean the space. Consecrate it. Don't just sweep it, surrender it. Don't just prepare it, present it. Because the moment you hand over the deed, the glory moves in. And you will never, ever be the same again. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. We thank you that you are not fickle and fake, and that you don't love us one day and leave us the next day. We thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We thank you that you're not just the God of the mountaintop. You're the God who meets us in the wilderness of life. Thank you for showing up when our strength was gone, when the road was rough, when our faith was fragile, when our minds were weary. Thank you for being willing to dwell in the messy places, the lonely places, the hard places, the uncertain places. Thank you that your glory doesn't need perfect conditions to descend. All you need is a consecrated space and a surrendered heart. So today, Lord, we hand over the deed. Every key, every room, every locked closet, every secret place, it's yours. Take ownership of our decisions, our emotions, our relationships, our work, our homes, our health, our future. And while we're still in the wilderness, fill us with your presence. Saturate our camp. Let our lives be a sanctuary where you are honored and obeyed and adored. For you alone are worthy. Worthy of our worship. Worthy of our obedience. Worthy of our trust. Worthy of our total surrender. Worthy of every breath we breathe, every song we sing, every step we take. You alone deserve the glory, the honor, and the praise. So let our lives be a sanctuary where you are lifted high, where every thought, every word, and every action points back to you. And as we make room for you today, let heaven bear witness that this house, this heart, this mind, this life belongs to you. And as we walk into spaces today, work, school, the grocery store, the doctor's office, meetings, classrooms, and kitchens, let the aroma of your presence go with us. Let it be the fragrance that shifts atmospheres, softens hearts, and draws people to you without us even saying a word. Let your joy be the scent that lingers, your peace. Let it be the perfume that calms our soul, and your love be the smell that reminds the world there's something different about us because we've been in your presence. And we know, Lord, the moment we get off this call, the enemy is waiting to distract us, to discourage us, to make us doubt what we just declared. He's waiting to send interruptions, temptations, and frustrations to pull us out of your presence. But we declare right now, his plans are canceled, his schemes are exposed, and his assignments are defeated. We will not hand him the keys to what we just gave you. We will guard this space. We will protect this consecration, and we will walk in the authority that comes from knowing the deed belongs to you. So cover us today, Lord. Place a hedge of protection around us, all that concerns us. Give us traveling mercies on every road, every highway, every flight, every commute. Keep us from accidents, danger seen and unseen, and every trap the enemy has set. Let your angels go before us to prepare the way, and let your goodness and mercy follow us all the way back home. Keep our minds stayed on you, our hearts anchored in you, and our steps ordered by you. And let everything we do today reflect that our lives belong to you. So cleanse us from the inside out, Lord. Wash our hearts, renew our minds, purify our motives. Uproot anything in us that doesn't look like you, sound like you, or align with your will. Remove bitterness, unforgiveness, pride, fear, and doubt. Fill every empty space with your spirit so there's no room for the enemy to creep back in. Make our thoughts holy. Make our words gracious and our actions pleasing in your sight so that when people encounter us today, they encounter you living in us. So join me, everybody on the call, in making our daily declaration today. Repeat after me. I give God the deed. Every room, every corner, every part of my life belongs to him. My wilderness is not wasted. It's where his glory dwells. Egypt's mindset is broken. Pharaoh's voice is silenced, and the enemy has no legal right to my life. I am consecrated, I am covered, and I am his now and forever. In Jesus' name, everybody shout, amen. Amen. Hey, listen, thank you for tuning in this morning to our Make Room prayer. Devotion call. I pray that it was a blessing and that this week has been a blessing to you. Share the information, be a blessing to someone else. Our replay will be uploaded to the website this morning at gracechurchal.com. I look forward to worshiping with you, those of you who are in Montgomery or those of you who are that's connected with Grace via the webs, via the internet. I look forward to worshiping with you all on Sunday. I am praying for you today. I am rooting for you. So be watchful, be mindful, and be encouraged. Peace.